Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And I love that song, Unity. It was the theme song for the show for, I think, the first year and a half of it. And it speaks of solidarity. It speaks of unity. It speaks of love and service to your fellow man. And that's what the show really embodies, you know. Ultimately, I'm not here to attack the New World Order and, you know, go after them and question them and ambush them with a camera anymore. I once was, but now I don't. Instead, I'm here simply to just promote, help, give coverage to the people who are going out and doing that, because they're really putting themselves at risk. And I've understood that they are, in fact, putting themselves at risk for me and for you. And for all of us. And I only try to do my part to help them ensure they get the coverage that they deserve. That is really the only intention of this show, is to help people who help others simply be recognized, because they're often very humble people who don't seek the publicity for themselves in huge quantitative ways. And there's very... It's much of a privileged position that I find myself in, speaking to some of the wisest people with such integrity every single day on the show. Like my very special guest, Will Spencer from BodyElectrician.com. I'll just make sure you get a plug in there. Go visit his website, ladies and gentlemen. We're making sure to do that sort of thing. Just kind of feeling a bit bleh today. And I apologize if I'm not my usual fruitful, happy, bouncy ball at the beach self today. It just shows that, you know, we're all hurting at this point in time, ain't we, Will?
Yeah, we live in a universe of polarity. We have ups and downs. We can't have up without down. So hey, I'm enjoying the down. Don't make it mean anything other than just it is what it is. And you'll notice that even just doing that, the biology will shift a little bit differently in your perception. So, you know, we're down. I get down. I'm right down right now. I'm tired, packing for a trip. We're going to be traveling. We actually got 14 stops with making some house calls, got some seminars lined up the next 2 weeks. And I'm tired. My camper's not packed, and we're going to leave. And it's just like, when's this going to end? You know, I'm frustrated. I got, you know, my own stuff. But we're here sharing what we got with people. I'm so thankful you said what you said. I'm glad you have this little platform here and you asked me to be on your show. I thank you so much that you have this place, this time to share and consider me to be of value to be sharing from your platform. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I got the saying that all the best things that I have in my life have actually been given to me, right? Everything, quite literally. I'm wearing a T-shirt that was given to me, wearing shorts that were hand-me-downs, underwear that was given to me by my girlfriend at Christmas. The microphone that I'm using was bought for me by a listener named Werner. Thank you, Werner. This Mac that I'm using was given to me by a listener named Sam. Thank you, Sam. I literally wouldn't be able to do anything that I'm doing, not to mention this radio show and this time that I have every single day, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day, was given to me by Danny Romero of American Freedom Radio. I know what it's like to have things given to you when you feel you deserve them. And the more that I'm given, the more that I feel I must give back. If you know what I mean, it keeps the circle going.
I totally know what you mean. We give till it hurts, literally. I make sure that when people call for help, in information and time that I give them the time, and I know I run out of time. It appears that I neglect almost, and I apologize. It's just we're just a small little organization here, but we do what we can do. We give everything that we have back as much as possible without even thinking about it. We're a business, yes, but we pay our bills and then we give what we can.
Yeah, and I'm also really cognizant of the fact that it's because of the fact that we've got audiences and we've got customers and things like that who support us and what it is that we do. That I just really thank God for every single day, because what's the alternative? We can't go back and work for some major mega death corporation, can we? No. They drive us completely insane. In fact, I felt like I was going insane my last few months of work years and years ago. Haven't been employed by anybody since, and thank frack for that. And not collecting a government dole. I'm not collecting any money off any government agency or anything like that. Not even a accommodation supplement. I mean, we went and got a few food parcels once when we were starving, but that's about it. Don't be a leech on society. Essentially, you've got to be like those good bacteria that you hear about. Cluster around the surface of that skin and protect it from viruses and help it to heal with some nice gooey mushy goodness.
I'm sorry for chuckling there.
How can you not chuckle at gooey mushy goodness?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that was good. You're recording this, aren't you?
Unfortunately, I am. Might be the biggest mistake in my life.
No, this is real, folks. I mean, this is unrehearsed, straight, this is raw right here.
Yeah. I think we might get, because it's raw, I think the food police might be after us next. Guns drawn raids.
No, that's okay, because I'm licensed by the Pastoral Medical Association, which protects me from them. So the corporations, they can just go pound sand, because they don't have any jurisdiction. I'm protected.
I don't think jurisdiction protects anybody from crap, especially criminals.
Yeah, well, it's nice.
After all, does the federal government have jurisdiction inside the states if the states are abiding by state laws and stuff like that? What was I talking about? The dispensaries in California getting raided by the DEA and stuff like that. That's out of their jurisdiction, isn't it?
No, not really, because in this country, if they're allowed to do it without any complaint, then they can supersede jurisdiction. Because this is a complaint-driven system. If the local law enforcement say they have to stay out, then the feds have to stay out. But it's up to the locals, and that's the problem. We have local law enforcement, especially here in the United Soviet States of America. We have local law enforcement that are taking so much federal money that they have to give in almost, because their paycheck is reliant on the federal handouts. So they have to give in almost. I mean, there's a few counties that I know of that there's no way that the feds are coming in. There's a few sheriffs around here that have stood up and said, no, federal government, you just go away. I used to lobby at the state house a few years ago now. Shoot, it's been almost a decade. Anyhow, we used to do lobbying, so I know how this system is designed. It's all about allowing consent. And if they consent to the federal government coming in, well, that's just too bad. That's just then they come in and do what they do. That's why, I want to move to a county, because the county I live in right now is really corrupt and we're planning on moving, because the feds are always in here causing problems. I want to move to a county where there's actually the county law or the state law supersedes and pushes the dang feds out.
Here's the problem. I'm not 100% sure if any county will be safe for long. I think if the sheriff pushes them out, they'll sit back for a little bit, and then they might run a defamation campaign. Like they've done it to Congress people, I think, where somebody in Congress will speak out against the tyrannical federal government. And then all of a sudden, their opponent in the next election cycle gets huge promotions, huge donations, and they use it to demonize and attack this congressional person that speaks out. Like, I think Cynthia McKinney is a good example of that. And I think maybe that they'll try to do the same thing for sheriffs. And here's the thing. If somebody stands up for the right thing, you can be assured that the wrong people will start attacking them. So if you want that person who's doing the right thing to stay there and keep doing the right thing, just saying, good on you, mate, is not enough anymore. You actually need to kind of, I don't know, become part of the posse, as it were, you know? Ride round with the sheriff with a sheriff's issued department shotgun or something like that, just in case some mafia don or something like that dressed in a black uniform comes up and tries to assassinate him, as happened to Mike Harris's friend, a sheriff who was up against the drug cartels and the corruption in South Texas, got found with a bullet in the left side of his head and executed with all his wife and his children in the car. You know, this kind of thing. Everybody was standing up behind him and going, yeah, he's doing the right thing, he's doing the right thing. But nobody was there to protect him when he really needed it.
That's too bad. Here in this county, we don't have a real sheriff anymore. We have one that is hired and fired. They just fired one last year because he was not doing what the corporation said to. So there's not a real sheriff here in this county. He's actually an employee of the county corporation.
Yeah, which is not a real sheriff. Sheriffs are elected by the people.
Right, but that's a lot of counties now, are especially around metropolitan here on the East Coast of the United States, where the scumbaggery actually was started and entrenched right here. They don't have real sheriffs. They have corrupt agents of the corporation posing as law enforcement, actually policy enforcers. They're not for the people. They're for the corporation.
Yeah, that's true. We've seen a lot of stories like that come out of Occupy Corporatism as well, where almost all police departments are now officially corporate private security. And they're not there to protect the people. Like, it's not in their mandate to protect people or to prevent crime or anything like that. It's actually their purpose is to protect the state and protect the corporations. The people are inconsequential. We're simply insects with a revenue dial that keeps clicking over.
Well, I have a sheriff's department a letter here that I'm requesting some documents. And on the bottom it says, with courage, honor, and dignity, we protect the rights and dignity of all citizens. In the partnership with our communities, we strive to preserve the peace and are dedicated to excellence in the delivery of public safety services.
And then you apply my rule, which is do the direct opposite of that. And that's usually what's actually really going on, right? Would you agree?
I agree.
So he's saying something about protecting the public, therefore they're there to enslave the public. He says something about it, something about integrity, therefore it's to do with scumbaggery. See, you just can't make this stuff up. You really can't. It's, I don't know how to explain this to people without getting attacked and demonized and called a conspiracy theorist or anything like that. You know, when you tell somebody that everything is a lie, where do you start? You know, where do you start explaining? Do you start explaining the monetary system? Do you start explaining law enforcement? Do you start explaining the corrupt judiciary? Do you start explaining about the politicians? Do you start explaining about the lobbyists or the corporations or the depleted uranium or the fluoride or the massive quantities of drugs in the water and being pumped into everybody, as long as they've got a psychiatrist with a prescription pad who's basically just a drug pusher with an education? Where do you start?
Well, ask the person you're talking to.
Well, you never once believed in the sister. I did. I was once a full-on believer. I was such a believer that when I was busted for drugs, well, I told the police absolutely everything. You know, yes, I've been selling drugs. I've been selling it for about 8 months or something like that, for about an ounce a week, etc. You know, and you know, told them everything, and then they still made up evidence in court against me. I was gonna go to jail for up to 8 years for a first offense for possession of 13 grams of cannabis.
Wow.
You've got to be freaking... That's what they do to you, if you're honest.
Yeah, so it doesn't pay, does it?
Honesty does not pay in a system that is run by freaking lying scum.
That's right.
I mean, I remember going down to back in the day before I got off the socialist tit of government handouts and things like that. I remember, you know, being asked all these questions and then I'd answer them honestly and they'd say, oh, really? Well, here's this benefit that we can't give you now. And you know, you'd be more honest and you'd go, oh, really? Well, we're going to have to cut that benefit in half now. And then I was saying to other people who are telling me, Vinny, you should actually lie to them, lie through your teeth, lie to them about that, lie to them about that, lie to them about that, and then you'll get what's actually coming to you, what will actually be of benefit and of use to you. And it fracked me off to no end that you had to literally lie to the authorities in order to get something you're supposed to be entitled to. And that's why I don't go after any government handouts at all anymore. You know, it's just that simple.
But it's really not lying because it's all an illusionary game anyhow. So it's really called, you're just creating the illusion.
Well, you know, I don't know what the difference is between creating an illusion that other people have to really live their lives under and simply telling everybody that what their lives are is really good when it's really not, you know? I don't know. It's really weird. It's fracked up. We'll be right back. Will Spencer from BodyElectrician.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. That's to the show that's all about exercising during the breaks. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnyEastwoodShow.com. I also want to remind people that the bank accounts are running a little bit low. I think maybe we've got a couple of weeks worth of rent left. So if you want this show to stay on the air, please subscribe for a couple of dollars a month, even a dollar a month. You know, don't care. Or make us a donation of some kind, and we'll give you access to the commercial-free archives, which I spend a little bit of extra time on for your listening pleasure, so you can listen to all these wonderful guests and things like that, and nice and quick fashion, too. Like this one right here, Mr. Will Spencer, BodyElectrician.com. How long have you actually had that website up, man?
5 years.
Yeah. Doing very well at all? Or,
No, we're doing okay. We have a steady growth. I quit spending money on advertising. Doing interviews like this, and then I have two of my own shows every week. It seems to be the best payoff for me because people get to hear me. Because I talk, the things we do are a little bit out of the norm. I mean, we're like on the fringe of the fringe. We're lumped into natural health, but I really don't use the typical natural health way of looking at things. I have a very unique view of the body and how it works. And when you reverse people's diseases, like diabetes goes away usually in under 60 days, no matter how much insulin you're on. When you help people, that word gets around. Or when somebody drops 90 pounds, or when somebody's cancer disappears, or when somebody doesn't have MS anymore and is not using their walker, or I even helped a guy regain sight in one eye last year. When you do things like that, your people around you notice, and they start asking questions, and that's our best advertising, is actually our clientele.
Yeah, well, even in the sales jobs before I started doing radio and everything, that was something I noticed, is that word of mouth is the most effective form of advertising. You know, you can advertise to people on the radio or TV or in newspapers and things like that, and they'll have such and such level of effectiveness. But if you're advertised to by somebody you personally know who's right there in front of you saying, you know, this guy was really awesome, man, he did this, that, and the other, and they can really see it for themselves, and it has a personal touch, bam, you cannot beat that.
Absolutely. That's real. That's why I spent, you know, I just quit spending money on advertising. It just, it doesn't pay because it's plastic. I want to be authentic. I want to be here right with you talking about, you know, whatever, like today. You know, you say you're not having that great of a day. Well, that's okay. You know, it's okay. And we don't practice for this, you know. We're just here sharing what we got in the moment. And that is, to me, that's real. And that's what heart, that's what's heartfelt about this kind of media. It's just real.
Yeah. Well, some of it is, at least. You know, there's... In fact, I would actually completely disagree with you. This media is very unreal. And even myself, I'd probably say I'm one of the realest people out there. And in fact, it even makes me feel dirty to say that. Like that I'm one of the most honest radio show hosts out there who really communicates on a personal level and really tries to help as many people as I possibly can, stays in touch with the audience, that kind of thing, take all their suggestions on board. I don't abuse people or anything like that. So when somebody comes back at me and tries to attack me, or something of that, it actually really hurts my feelings, and it sends me into a massive air of distress, and it's just like I feel the injustice of it more acutely, perhaps, because I'm not trying to be the unjust one.
Well, you're shoving it off pretty good now.
Yeah, but it doesn't make me feel any better. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know.
And I think this is probably where the human lust for vengeance really comes from, is that you feel raw about things until you get your own back in most cases. You'll eventually not feel quite as bad, you know, if you just let things go and eventually move on or whatever. But that memory of being messed round or whatever is still there, and it will always be there. And that raw feeling and that memory will always be there until you get your own back. And that's been my experience all the way through life anyway.
Well, it is, but I have changed my perception on that a little bit, because I just stopped making it mean things. It's not a personal attack. And then when I look at those emails, or when people are talking to me or calling and going, what's going on? Or like, well, it's not my deal. People are going to do what people are going to do. Unfortunately, we live in a system that it's easy and acceptable to lash out at somebody, even unjustly. And it's not my deal, though. I didn't encourage this other guy to attack me the other day in an email. He's having a bad day, and he thought it would be better that he would lash out at me to make himself, you know, enriched some way to feel like, you know, better. Like, well, okay, so that's fine. It's not my deal, though. Mm-hmm. It's very unhealthy for me to make it mean or something personal, because somebody else attacked you.
You know, it reminds me of the two most important pieces of advice I think I've ever been given by Catherine Smith. She does this magazine, the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine. And he said, Vinny, don't take yourself too seriously. And don't take what other people say about you personally. And I think that's really just sage advice. And we forget these things, don't we?
Yeah.
Because it's like reversion. Like being angry and enraged at people is kind of like crack, you know? It's really hard to get off it. And even when you are off it, you keep looking at other people having their crack all over the place, and you're like, oh, yeah, I think I have some of that. And it's like, oh, no. Not that I've ever done crack. I'm just using an example here.
Yeah, hate, but it is like
anger
that.
Is an addiction.
It's the fix of the adrenaline rush and the cortisol rush that drives you, because it feels good, because you have the adrenaline coursing through your body, and if you don't burn it off, it will drive you nuts. It will tear your immune system down. It will shred your nervous system, because those chemicals are real tangible things, and you got to burn them off or you kill yourself. I just as soon just not even go there, you know, because it's not my deal. It's just when you live like I live like that, I find it much better to live like that. I do what I best I can in every moment, and that's what I do in this moment. That's all we got. So if somebody wants to badmouth me, well, okay, badmouth me then. That's your deal.
Yeah. Well, maybe I should have this big, big grin on my face. Well, hold on a second. I'm Vinny Eastwood. I'm a really nice guy. I help people every day. And I actually give a frack. And I'm not corrupt. And I'm not a liar. And anybody who says that about me is corrupt and a liar and is engaging in some form of scumbaggery. That makes me feel better about myself. Because the only people who can actually attack me are the very, very people who are engaging in said scumbaggery themselves. You know?
Right.
Isn't that great to know that you're not the bad guy? Even though and here's the other thing. If you think that you're not the bad guy and you don't question yourself, you know, like, am I doing the right thing here? Am I doing a bad thing here? If you lose that questioning nature about yourself, that's when you do go down the dark road, man. That's when you do become the bad guy. If you don't even for a second guess your own actions to see whether or not they're really still doing the right thing or not. Kind of like you've got a map and you're traveling from point A to point B. And you've taken all these different twists and turns and what have you. How would you know where you really are now? And how would you know whether or not you're still heading to your objective unless you recheck your map?
Very good point.
You know, otherwise you get lost in yourself. And that was actually one of my great fears starting off in this movement. Well, you know, having a media platform and a radio show and everything like that, I thought I'd be overcome with narcissism and become egotistical, like, I have a radio show and you can't criticize me because it's my platform, it's my mute button and what have you, and just basically be the big cheese. You know how that everybody says that quintessential phrase, that guy, in inverted commas? And we all know who that guy is. It's the person who is worse than ourselves. And I'm really glad that I haven't turned into what's worse than myself, you know? And I think it's largely due to the fact that I constantly am surrounded by people who remind me what's best in myself.
That makes a difference, doesn't it? I have those in my life too, and they hold me to that standard constantly. I mean, sometimes it's uncomfortable, but overall, it's for the best, I believe.
Yeah, it totally is. I mean, you know, like I say, my great fear was becoming one of the corrupt people. You know. And I theorize that if I surround myself with people who expose corruption, how would I ever become corrupt? If all the best people who are closest to me would be people who exposed me if they found out that I wasn't who I said I was. And the thing is, I wouldn't be able to get away with it, right? And I've done that deliberately. Because I so fear becoming the evil that I've started doing all this to, you know what I'm saying.
I know. I totally know, because I have that system here. I mean, I don't do this all by myself, just like you don't do that all by yourself, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And there's a structure here too that, that we hold each other to a standard that we have, you know, that we want to provide the legitimately the best service. And there's an aspect of integrity that has to go in with this.
Who were the was there a particular person in your life that you met that taught you the real value of integrity that you could point to? Or is it just like a big eclectic influence of different people here?
Oh, no. My current partner right now totally has changed my life. She has opened a door that I never really knew existed when it comes to integrity and your word. It's like I think about it sometimes and my brain hurts because of the new way of thinking.
Like how?
Like how? Well, keeping my word. It's not. And then when I make a mistake and I'm late for an appointment or I miss a phone call or I get busy and it's just simply to clean it up. I apologize. I made a mistake and then move on. And not feel guilty, because I come from an extremely religious family that guilted you, shamed you. When you did something wrong, you got beat for it verbally, verbally, sometimes physically. And this is this idea of just, okay, I did it wrong. I'll do better next time. You know, I apologize, and then just move on. That way, because I come from a place that's totally not like that. You get guilted for a month because you made a mistake. Literally. I came from a really sucky place in that regard.
You know, that reminds me of something I was thinking about, I think yesterday, Will, is how society treats people who make mistakes or who do the wrong thing. It's not to help them realize that they did the wrong thing or that they made a mistake and to help them do something better. It's to punish them for as long and as horribly as possible. And there's no benefit from it whatsoever. I never grow or learn any particularly valuable, wonderful lessons off of being overtly punished for something that isn't really that bad or shamed or guilt-tripped for it. What is that? What the hell is that? Why do we do that to each other? You know?
Because we're taught that.
You made a mistake.
Because I don't think inadvertently we're like that. We're taught that.
Well, I think it just winds up with a society full of ninnying, I'm going to tell on you to the school teacher or something type of pathetic dependent slime. And I just, it frustrates the hell out of me, because sometimes you feel like you're the only sane voice in an insane world and you're surrounded by scumbaggery. When you're the only one who's got integrity, and you feel like you're losing that battle sometimes, but then you remember, I'm still alive. I haven't lost yet. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the show that's all about too much confusion and how we can't get no relief. My very special guest is Will Spencer from BodyElectrician.com, and we're being simulcast on WolfSpiritRadio.com. Very thanks to the wonderful and majestic Dave Corso. I can't believe I get away with this stuff, calling somebody like Dave Corso majestic. Where do I come up with this stuff? Okay. Going back to Will. We've only got a few more minutes left here, Will. I was wondering if you've learned anything really profound that kind of changed your life in the past year or something, because one thing I've noticed is that you get addicted to that kind of disillusionment sensation, like, wow, I never knew that. And it gives me a whole new perspective on, like, I haven't had one of those sensations in a while. You know what I'm saying? And it's sad in a way. And I think you're muted.
I am. Doggone it. Yeah, I haven't had one of those in a while myself.
You know, well, why is it that we need those sensations as well? Because I don't know. I think I could theorize that it's because I know that I don't know everything, right? And having those profound realizations is simply reinforcing the fact that how little I really know at the end of the day. But of course, it's encouraging because it means that I am at least learning something new. I don't feel like I've learned a whole lot that's new, simply reinventions of the same stuff over again. You know how humanity goes in cycles? Tyranny, freedom, tyranny, freedom, tyranny, freedom, tyranny, freedom. And it's just, it goes on forever and people don't notice the cycle. And so it continues. I notice the cycle of ignorance and how little we know and how little we care for each other. And I want to find out something deeper about it so that I don't continue to go down that spiraling self-destructive rabbit hole.
I'm with you. I want to break the cycle. I'm aware of the cycle too, and I think it's time to stop. Let's get onto a different cycle or something. I can say I have a couple profound things now that you mention it. I was sitting in a class, actually learning on to better communicate and be an effective speaker, and there was a statement on the wall, and I just forgot the statement. Oh my gosh. I just had it in my head. See there again? Just things come and things go. It's one of those days. I mean, what is this? What is it?
I think it's called exhaustion.
Oh, that could be.
You know, like how much sleep have you had, Will?
Well, not enough. That's apparent.
Yeah. And you know, when you don't get enough sleep or you don't get enough, you know, for me, it's like you wake up in the morning and if you haven't had enough sleep, it doesn't matter how much coffee you take down, you still feel like ass.
Yeah.
You know, like you're not, like you're really not on your game. Especially when you're having like emotional distractions and things like that. Like I remember yesterday, me and my friend Mikhail were trying to make some music. Oh, not yesterday, the day before. And we were trying to go over one of our songs that we'd kind of jammed out and whatever called Raptor Jesus, about our Lord and Savior, you know, the gospel according to Raptor Jesus. And I couldn't come up with any changes to it or anything like that. It was really weird. It was like I was drawing a blank on my own song and couldn't split it up, couldn't change it, couldn't delete words, couldn't add words, couldn't structure choruses or anything like that. I was like, what the hell is wrong with me? And I think it's because I was just emotionally drained and feeling like crap, you know? Maybe hadn't had enough sleep. But what was interesting is that we instead of working on a song that we've already done, we decided to jam out. We came up with three new songs. And a fourth one as well, that wasn't quite as good as the other three. But yeah, it's like difficult to work with structure, with structured things, when you're emotionally drained or exhausted or something. But when it comes to creative things that are like spitfire where there's no rules or whatever, those things seem to come through almost easier. In a lot of ways, do you sort of know what I mean?
Oh, I know. I experienced that myself. Totally. When we're having it's almost like the structured things requires the body to be at peak because it's connected to the construction. The constructive things is connected to the physical workings of the body. But when you're tired, your physicality is tired. I have some of my most creative moments in that the body can't function the best, like right now. But yet, the creativeness, something will just bang, come, especially driving at night. That's one of my favorite things, totally zoning out like at 2 in the morning, going across, just driving. It's like your body goes on autopilot, and then my mind starts to wander, and I've pulled in more information and created more things in that space. It's amazing.
It's like the witching hour.
Right.
What was the other thing as well? Also notice that when you're really staying up late and you're doing things again, that's when all the profound, really creative stuff, like how the hell did I come up with that kind of moments came from? And I think it's like there's a crossover between the dream world and the real world during those hours when you're really, really tired. And some of those things that you would not remember had you dreamed them are capable of crossing over into this reality through exhaustion.
Totally.
Maybe that's totally, a bit new agey.
No, really, that's old agey.
Yeah.
Yeah, it goes into the mystics. The great mystics of old talk about that.
Hmm. Well, see, then I wonder why people who are addicted to crystal meth don't come up with really great ideas. You know, they haven't gone to sleep for like a week or something. Hey, you know what the best part about being on crystal meth is, Will?
No, I've never done that. Tell
it's
me.
Only, it's only six more sleeps till Christmas.
Six more sleeps. Oh, my gosh. I know the detriment of that stuff can have on your body. I think that's a total different. If you are using the natural things, you know, like the funguses and the other herbal concoctions that actually the old witch doctor used to use in the past to bring on those states of mind that where creativeness comes from, where those are chemicals, the crystal meth and stuff like that. That's like body putty and all this atrazine all these different chemicals mixed together. I mean, it's totally different.
But then again, if you have a look into, say, Philip K. Dick, he was doing a lot of speed, and he was churning out books like there was no tomorrow. Like it enabled him to zone in and produce like a couple of novels in a year or something like that. And in some cases he had premonitions of things that really happened later on. Like he woke up one time from this really bad dream and he saw this man next to a coffee table in between a chair, you know, lying face down dead. And then he was late to a meeting one day, and his friends went, where is he? And went round to his house and found him in between his coffee table and his chair, face down dead.
Wow.
You know? I'm not encouraging crystal meth, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, let's just make something clear. I saw this very interesting story this one time with this county sheriff who would take pictures of meth heads, you know, like he'd pick them up 1 month and then he'd pick them up a couple of months later and they'd aged like 20 or 30 years or something like that because of the amount of meth that they were doing. It was like unbelievably scary how fast it deteriorates you. All right.
Yeah.
That's a nice cherry note to lead the program on there.
Yeah, right. Only on the Vinny Eastman show, right?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry I haven't been quite as up with it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not sleep deprived. I'm just kind of like, yeah. You know, when something's on your mind and you can't shake it, And you got to do something else, and you wind up doing that something else not quite as well. That's how I am today, and I really apologize for the lack of quality in the broadcast. I am an imperfect being. Sorry about that. No, truly, I am sorry for not being perfect. I can't claim that I'm the best radio show host in the world. Well, I could, but that would be a lie. And I think that, well, basically, you've got to appreciate the time that you have, at least, and try and stop worrying about all this extra stuff. You know, I know that, Will, you're very tired. You know, thank you very much for coming on the broadcast with us today, man. Is it bodyelectrician.com is your website?
Yep, bodyelectrician.com, yes.
Bodyelectrician.com. All right. Well, thanks very much for joining us, and I know it's been actually difficult for you to stay awake and to concentrate on the on the conversation as well. Hasn't been difficult for me to stay awake, but it has been difficult to concentrate on the conversation. So, again, listeners, I apologize if you've not enjoyed this broadcast as much as you probably ordinarily would. It is my fault. It really is. I haven't learned how to deal with stuff properly yet. I'm 28. Forgive me.
I forgive you. It's okay.
All right. Thank you very much, man. All right. Elvis has left the building, and we'll see you again sometime. Ladies and gentlemen, you can check out the archives at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question. And please donate or subscribe for as little as $1 a month, and we'll give you access to the commercial-free archives as well, to thank you very much for supporting this broadcast and all the people that we bring on every day. See you again sometime.